Jane, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So to start off with, could you explain to us a little bit about how the point system is measured and how that one works?
Sure. So this diet score is available online. It's about a 10-minute survey and it's free, so anyone can do it. And it asks a series of questions about your dietary habits, and it really focuses around key food groups, so all the five group groups that we know: fruit, vegetables, dairy, meat and protein, and grains and cereals. And then, of course, discretionary foods, all the sort of treat foods that we shouldn't eat as often as we do. So it asks about all of those and beverages, and it compares your habitual intake to the Australian Dietary Guidelines. And how well you score, how well you meet those dietary guidelines reflects in your score. So a high score is good, a low score is not so good.
And we came out with 51, so I'm imagining
that's... 59.
Oh, 59. Sorry.
That's
sorry
okay.
About that one. 59. So, slightly better than 51.
Exactly. But, you know, still definitely plenty of room for improvement. And that's what this score does. It will compare your intake to the dietary guidelines and give you the top three things that you need to do to get closer to eating to the dietary guidelines. And as a report card for all of Australia, our number one thing is to eat less discretionary foods. We're eating far too many and our portions are much too big. So chocolates, cakes, muffins, biscuits, pizzas, and of course beverages. And the number one for adults is alcohol.
Alcohol, okay. Yeah, that doesn't actually shock me a huge amount, if I'm being honest, unfortunately.
That's right.
So in terms of the societal factors impacting these results, can you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, what we saw was that different segments of the community fared slightly differently. There were some people that were doing a little better. So the older people in our community scored better than the younger people, sort of aged 19 to 30. And I guess what that's telling us is that older people are probably more likely to shop at the supermarket, cook for themselves, perhaps maybe a bit more likely to eat the sort of meat and veggies type meals, whereas younger people have a very dynamic lifestyle where they're eating out a lot, grabbing food on the go, and that's where the discretionary foods come in.
I'm feeling a lot of instant noodles and stuff coming through with that
one. Precisely, precisely. We also found that women have a healthier diet than men.
Okay.
And that some industries were better off and some were a little worse off as well. So maybe your employment influences how easily you can access healthy food or how much time you've got in the morning to make a healthy lunch and take it with you.
So what were some of the industries that did better than others?
So, for example, real estate agents fared quite well. And, you know, when you think about their lifestyle, they're not necessarily chained to an office and stuck at a desk all day. So perhaps they've got time in the morning to eat a healthy breakfast, make a good lunch to take with them. Maybe they're a little more image conscious. I don't know. Maybe that does that make them healthier? And then the converse. So people like construction workers who we can imagine start work quite early in the morning. So probably not taking lunch with them. As a generalisation, they had a lower diet score, so they were probably drinking more sugary drinks and also having more takeaway type lunches.
So I suppose the big question, how is it that we can go about raising our score up from 59?
Well, if everyone hops on and does the score, you'll get your top three things that you can improve. And, you know, it's really important when you talk about diet to make long-term changes. And if you're going to go completely wholesale and radical and change everything that you do, you're very unlikely to stick to that for a long time. And it's probably not necessary either. So if you pick just a couple of key things that are going to make a big impact and you work about changing those and making them long-term habits, then you can move on to the next thing. So with the diet score, you'll get top three things, and that might be eat more vegetables, have less sugary drinks, and trim the fat off your meat. And that's pretty achievable to do that. Give that a go for a couple of months, stick at it, redo your score, see if it's higher, and see what your next bit of feedback is.
So all the little things adding up to a whole, I guess.
Exactly. But it's about tackling goals that are achievable and that you can stick to for the long term.
So, I mean, the government is always wondering and always stressing, I guess, about, you know, health and lifestyle and all that sort of thing. Is there a way that the government should be responding to these figures?
I guess there is. You know, this is the thing about obesity. Everyone's got a role to play. The government's got a role to play in promoting healthy lifestyles and making them easier. So things like supporting footpaths so we can be more active in our transport rather than using cars. And they've recently initiated the Health Star rating on food products.
Oh, yes.
So food companies can put that on. You pick within a category, you pick the highest star that appeals to you. So there's a number of initiatives like that. And you're right, the government's got a lot to worry about because they're going to be footing the bill for all the diseases that are related to our expanding waistline, such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, certain cancers. So they've got definitely a role to play. But so does the food industry in reformulating convenience foods so they're healthier. We've got to take a bit of responsibility too to make healthy choices and invest the time into cooking healthy meals and also encouraging our kids, being good role models for them.
Well, Jane, it's a really important issue. Thank you so much for joining us on the Daily this morning.
Thanks for having us.